I would like to call our September 5th, 2023 Planning and Zoning Commission meeting to order. Thank you all for joining us tonight. Ms. Sancona, may I please have a roll call?
Commissioner Clark?
Present.
Commissioner Nichols?
Present.
Commissioner Outlaw Ryan?
Present.
Commissioner Zielinski?
Present.
Vice Chair Sturman?
Present.
Chair Harrington?
Present.
And Commissioner Posey is excused.
Could you please all join me for the Pledge of Allegiance? Thank you all for joining us once again. A few housekeeping rules. There's restrooms and drinking fountains out to the right. There are blue cards in the back on the back table there. If you please fill those out and give those to our recording secretary, Ms. Sancona, we will definitely add you to our list of blue cards. if you wish to speak during call of audience or during the public hearing, please fill out a blue card in the back of the room. At this time, I wish to any members of the public will allow to address the commission on any issues not listed on today's agenda. Pursuant to Arizona open meeting laws, individual commissioners members may ask the town staff to review the matters, ask the matters be placed on future agenda, or respond to criticisms made by speakers. However, the commission may not discuss or take legal action on any matters raised during called audience. In order to speak during called audience, please specify what you wish to discuss when completing out your blue card. Ms. Sancona, do we have any additional blue cards?
No.
Thank you. At this time, I would like to close call to audience. At this time, it looks like we do have a council member, Jones Ivy, for our commission council member.
Okay, now how long will this stay green? As long as I'm talking? Gotcha. Okay. All right. There's been a lot going on in town, and I'm sure that you've noticed that we've got construction going on right here on La Cañada. And what is happening there, we are expanding a multi-youth pass from the community center to the La Cañada residence area. You've probably noticed that you can only travel, I think, about 25 miles an hour, and that work is going to last through October, and by that time it will be all finished. I want to give you an update on the Naranja Park expansion that is moving and just clipping at a really good pace for us. Fields 5 and 6 were the two additional fields that we put in. They have been seeded, they're sprouted, and we are expecting to be able to use those fields for the up-and-coming spring of 24. Also, and I got to grab my notes on this, thank you. The final contract for the remaining improvements, which include the skate park, the pump track, and the splash pad, were signed. And that project should be starting sometime late fall or during the winter time. I don't know if you've been over to the community center, but the project to expand parking to 120 lots has been started, and we expect that will also be completed through mid-March. There is a new exciting entertainment in Oro Valley, and I don't know if you've had an opportunity. If you haven't, please go and see the immersive experience of Van Gogh. How many of you have had an opportunity to experience that? For everything that we know about the man, This is a totally different way of experiencing him. It's about a 90-hour tour. I'm not 90 hours, 90 minutes. It's about a 90-minute tour, and it is a virtual reality experience as well as an experience where they have projected all of his paintings around the walls, and you really learned, I learned more about Van Gogh than I'd ever known, and I didn't realize that Starry Nights, and I know we've all heard of his work, Starry Nights, there's actually two of them. Okay. Also, he was very interested in Chinese art, and that was another piece of information I did not know. But again, it is an awesome experience, and I'm asking you to please go and support our efforts in bringing the arts, welcoming the arts, and hopefully keeping the arts here. Okay, tomorrow is a council meeting, and there are two issues that we're going to be dealing with tomorrow. We're going to have a public hearing discussing the possible action for a proposed drive-through for the Tropical Smoothie located on the southwest corner of Lambert and La Cañada. And we're also going to have a public hearing discussing and possible action regarding an approximate 36-acre property located on the southwest corner of La Cañada Drive and Moore Road. Part A will be annexation, and the Part B will be a translational rezoning from Pima County. And they're going to be asking the town to approve an R144 for this area. I encourage all of you to come out. As I said, these are public hearings, and we certainly appreciate your input on that. Council's been very busy this month. We attended the National League of Cities meeting in Tucson, and it's always full of information for us. We had our Governor Katie Hobbs show up, who was highlighting some of her goals for the rest of her tenure, as well as Mark Kelly, who did a meet and greet during the town's showcase. Siskamani, and please forgive me because I'm terrible with either first or last names, but State Senator, State Congressman, thank you very much. State Congressman Siskamani was also there. It was quite a meeting, and I cannot, I'm just gushing inside with pride because our teens were always, who's always a part of this event, showed up and showed out. Oh my goodness gracious, we were just, you know, hooting and hollering, at least I was, as they did the flag, marched the flag in, and they also did a display to share with other youth and other attenders at the convention on Oral Valley, and I was super impressed with the amount of information that they were sharing about Oral Valley as well as our youth activities program. My buttons were busted and it made me proud. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Jones-Ivy. Ms. Acona, may I please have agenda item number one?
Review and approval of the August 8th, 2023 special session meeting minutes.
Do you have a motion on the floor?
I move to approve the August 8th, 2023 meeting minutes.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Any nays? 6-0. All right. Ms. Acona, agenda item number two.
Public hearing, discussion, and possible action regarding a proposed translational rezoning of an approximately 36-acre property located at the southwest corner of La Cañada Drive and Moore Road from Pima County Suburban Ranch to Town of World Valley R1-144 Large Lot Residential.
Selectman Mr. Spieth, go ahead.
Yes, good evening, Chair, Commissioners, and members of the audience. My name is Michael Spieth, a principal planner with the Town of World Valley. As Ms. Ancona indicated, our purpose for this item is to consider a proposed translational zoning for a property being considered for potential annexation. This request fulfills state law requirements subsequent to that potential annexation, and this item will only be considered by Town Council if the annexation is approved. The request is to change the zoning from the existing Pima County Suburban Ranch, or SR, zoning district to the Town of Oro Valley R1-144 zoning district, which is large lot residential. It is worth noting that no new development is proposed as part of this application, and this item is presented tonight for discussion and possible action by the commission. So to quickly orient everyone to the subject property, it is currently in Pima County, and it's outlined in yellow on the screen up here. It's approximately 36 acres in size and is located on the southwest corner of La Cañada Drive and Moore Road. And it's immediately north of the existing La Cañada Ridge subdivision. As I just mentioned, the property will be considered by Town Council for potential annexation tomorrow evening. Again, if the annexation is approved, both state law and our zoning code require the town to translate the existing county zoning to the most similar town zoning district, which in this case is the R1-144 zoning district, as you can see in the table at the bottom right of this slide. The R1-144 zoning district is essentially the exact same as the SR zoning district, though in a couple of ways it is actually more restrictive, namely in building height that is allowed, as well as a couple of the setbacks that are required. But essentially it is the same zoning district as the Pima County SR. So again, this item will be considered by Town Council tomorrow, following the potential annexation, and again, it will only be acted on if the annexation is approved by Town Council. Because this request is ministerial in nature, again, no new development is proposed as part of this action this evening. I want to reiterate that for any neighbors who might be attending tonight or tomorrow night, there is not a site plan being considered either, as you can see on our slides. Staff does anticipate that a future rezoning request for the property will happen should the annexation be approved. If that is received by town staff at that time, all of the public participation and public hearing requirements of the zoning code will be applied at that point. So we will have neighborhood meetings, and you will have another public hearing before the commission, and then another public hearing before town council. So there will be ample opportunity down the road for neighbors to participate should the property be annexed and a rezoning application be provided. So with that said, the request before you this evening meets all required state law requirements and is consistent with all annexation-related zoning code stipulations, and staff recommends approval. And again, this is being presented for discussion and possible action this evening. Thank you, Chair. That concludes my presentation, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
All right. Ms. Clark.
Thank you, Chairman. Just a quick question for you, Mike. So where is the line? So I know just to the west and the south is still Pima County. Is the development directly south and Lehman School within town limits now?
Thank you, Chair. Commissioner, yes. See if I can get my left hand and right hand worked at the same time. So, yes. Yeah, so La Cañada Ridge, the Lehman Academy, everything down to Moore Road immediately adjacent to La Cañada is within the town boundary. I could zoom out a little bit here. The Pima County line on the west does extend about another, I don't know, quarter mile, half mile south of this, and then the properties on the north of Tangerine are actually in the town already as well. I hope that answers your question.
Thank you. It's just mm-hmm. The line's a little, it's trying a little, to figure out where
yeah,
it's at,
zigzag
and it's hard
out there
to find. Thank you.
Any other commissioners have any questions or comments? All right. At this time, I'd like to open up to the public for open called audience. Is there any blue cards, Ms. Acona?
No, sir.
I'd like to go ahead and close called audience on this matter. All right. Do we have a motion on the floor? Commissioner Clark?
I move to recommend approval of the proposed transitional zoning, finding it conforms with state requirements.
Do we have a second on that matter?
Second.
Is there any further discussion on the matter? Any questions or comments? Okay. As we have a first and second, all those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Any nays? Okay. Motion carries 6-0.
All right. Ms. Acona, may I please have action item number 2?
Action item number 3. I'm sorry about that.
Public hearing, discussion, and possible action on a proposed zoning code amendments to Chapter 23, Zoning Districts, Chapter 26, Provisions of Recreational Area, Chapter 31, Definitions, and other related sections for new residential subdivisions, multifamily, and mixed-use developments.
Ms. Sims.
Thank you, and good evening, Chair and Commissioners. My name is Melanie Sims, and I'm a principal planner with the Town of Oro Valley. Our purpose with this item is to present proposed changes to private recreation area requirements. Now, if approved, this will not impact any public parks or any existing facilities within the town. The Planning and Zoning Commission is tasked with providing a recommendation to Town Council. So first, I want to provide some background of why we are proposing these changes. It stems from a need that was identified in the Oro Valley Parks and Recreation Master Plan. In fact, the image you see on the screen is out of the master plan and its recommendations for private rec areas. And what was identified in 2021 was there's a need for more larger neighborhood parks, as well as more meaningful amenities such as basketball courts, playgrounds, and ramadas. And this need was also identified through a townwide community survey that was done at that time. It was further prioritized by Town Council's strategic leadership plan, which, as you can see on the screen, has an objective, which is to prioritize larger neighborhood area parks and more meaningful amenities. So from that guidance, staff started researching what are some best practices to accomplish those goals. And what we did was we first looked at our own code, but then also inventoried parks not only in Oro Valley, but in other Arizona jurisdictions to look at what makes parks more usable in terms of size and amenities. We also worked with Pros Consulting, who was the consultant for the Parks and Rec Master Plan, as well as our Director of Parks and Rec, to kind of come up with the best practices that we wanted to implement in town. And then this research was presented to the Parks and Recreation Advisory Board, as well as the Planning and Zoning Commission and Town Council. I will say this was a year ago, so I am going to go through some of that research again tonight, because for those who may not remember and for the public. But from that, those conversations, there was a need to reach out to HOA board members who have existing park facilities to really understand what makes a park meaningful and usable in their area. So we did implement a survey, and we had 18 responses representing 24 different recreation areas. Now, this does include Rancho Vistoso, who, as you can see on the screen, there are a good amount of parks north of Tangerine that they oversee. We also, over the course of 3 meetings, met with industry stakeholders, specifically the Southern Arizona Home Builders Association and the Metropolitan Pima Alliance. The Southern Arizona Home Builders Association did submit a formal letter today, and it has been placed at your seats. I will be going through some of the feedback we received from all entities throughout my presentation. All right, so to meet the guidance from the Parks and Rec Master Plan as well as the Strategic Leadership Plan, we have 4 objectives of this code amendment. First, when we look at creating larger neighborhood parks. We're looking at consolidating the rec areas within individual projects, increasing or establishing the size for recreation areas, and prioritizing our higher value rec areas. And then also making sure that there's a variety of passive and active amenities for all ages and abilities. So looking at that first example, the objective here is to make sure we're creating adequately sized and meaningful rec areas that are a central focus, focal point in our residential projects. And what we found in our code is right now there's no mechanism to consolidate rec areas. And what that can result in is smaller scattered rec spaces around a project. So the image on the screen is an example of this. It's the villages at Silverhawk subdivision, and the stars notate rec areas spread throughout that community. So there was agreement from all three bodies that larger rec areas are better and allow for more flexibility, but there is a need to allow for more flexibility. And we heard that from not only all three studies, through all three study sessions, but also our industry stakeholders. But there are times due to size or to meet a distance requirement that further distribution is needed. So what the proposed code has is that rec areas must be provided in no more than two areas. They must be at least 60 feet wide, and they must be within a half mile distance from the residents they intend to serve. But again, we know there is flexibility, and actually the villages at Silverhawk is a great example of when further distribution did make sense because it was a phased development and is a larger subdivision. So the code language does allow council to approve more than two rec areas based on topography, to have a better variety of amenities, or to be closer to the residents. It also allows town council to approve narrower rec areas due to topography or if it's a linear park. Additionally, the proposed code does require adjacent subdivisions to construct larger and more shared rec areas. Now, this would only apply to master planned areas or rezoning applications that have more than one subdivision. So this occurrence shown on the screen is an example, is what's known as Capella. It's the land area off of Lambert and LaChoya. And what's shown with the stars are shared rec areas between those individual development areas for the subdivision. And it was both a rezoning and a master planned area. This specific aspect of the code amendment would likely only occur if the town annexes land, because we are limited on the land we have remaining in town, especially larger pieces like this. Now, the second objective under our guidance to provide larger neighborhood parks is to increase or establish the size of rec areas. And this is also to provide more space for amenities. So what we found looking at other jurisdictions is Oro Valley's rec requirement is lower than others in Arizona, and that's shown on the table as well. Also, what we found is the rec area for multifamily or mixed-use development is not clearly defined. In our multifamily or mixed-use development zoning districts, there's a open space requirement that does require rec amenities, but it doesn't specify how much of the portion of open space must be amenitized and usable. So the proposed code does increase the rec size requirement for subdivisions and single-family homes, as well as townhomes and patio homes. Now, this would only apply for rezonings, and the reason being that we want to make sure we're compliant with state law. And so in Arizona, if you create a zoning requirement that is stricter than what is existing allowed currently within property rights, it could be a taking. And so that is the reason it would only apply to rezonings. We also got guidance last time we were here to make sure that our open space requirement for multifamily districts is maintained. And so really here in the code language, We are maintaining the open space for all multifamily and mixed-use district. We're really just establishing how much of that open space needs to be amenitized with to be a usable rec area. And then lastly, the under creating larger rec areas is increasing utility by eliminating very small parks that generally have little space for amenities. And we wanted to make sure we did this in a way that was equitable for all subdivisions. So right now, the code offers an in-lieu fee that is subject to our criteria and requires town council approval. And you can use the in-lieu fee if you meet the criteria and get approved for a portion or all of the rec area instead of constructing it. But there's no minimum required in the code right now. And so what we found working with Pros Consulting and through our inventory is once you get beyond a quarter acre or smaller, you really start to have a low value for your park because there's just not enough space to provide enough amenities. Not that it can't be done, but in general, what we found is it doesn't provide enough space. And there's a picture on the top that shows one that has parking. I think there's a bench in there. And then what used to be a dirt jump run, I'm not sure. But it's what we would consider a lower value park. So what the proposed code is that any residential project that would require a quarter acre or less would automatically provide the in-lieu fee. And again, this is to eliminate extremely small parks. And what this equates to is a preliminary plat or a subdivision with 21 lots or less, or a rezoning, which would have 12 lots or less. And in the last 5 years, there's been one project that would have qualified for this, and it was the Morning Vista Townhomes that some of you may recall. Now, we are maintaining the in-lieu fee option if you are required to do a quarter acre or more, but we are changing it that you at least have to provide that quarter acre on your property so that we can ensure there's some rec space in those larger subdivisions. But you can ask, going through this with the same criteria, you can ask town council to satisfy the rest of it through an in-lieu fee. And what that criteria looks at is to make sure it's still beneficial to future residents and also that you must be in proximity to a public park facility to be able to use that in-lieu fee. Okay. And then our second focus area was looking at amenities. We want to ensure that there's high-quality amenities for all ages and abilities. And so right now, there's no specific provisions in the code to ensure there's meaningful amenities. And what we found through the survey when we to HOA board members is that the true determinants of whether their rec area was being used was the amenities, the types that they provided, and the location, if they were visible and accessible. And specifically, we're looking at amenities, shade, seating, and pedestrian connectivity were the three top and highest of all the ones that we surveyed. So what the proposed code aims to do is require that those be standard amenities in every park. Seating, shade, trash receptacles, and pedestrian connectivity, vehicle and bicycle parking are already required. We also looked at our list of active and passive amenities. So an active amenity is one that requires more high energy, so your ball courts, if you will. And your passive amenities are more lower energy. Horseshoe pits, walking paths are more of your passive amenities. So we looked at our menu, if you will, of items, and we did update that. But we also heard feedback that there might be opportunities for items that aren't in the code or aren't on the list that makes sense. So, for instance, the only one that comes to my mind is pickleball. I don't think any of us thought of that 10 years ago. And so looking at allowing council to approve amenities that aren't currently on the list has been included in the code. And also there was concern about the variety of amenities. That's really what we're aiming for. And so there is a code language to allow council to replace amenities to achieve a better variety. And I do want to state that currently all recreation area plans require consideration by the Planning and Zoning Commission as well as Town Council. So the approvals by Town Council would happen at the same time that plan was going through the public review process. And looking at the amenities, the amount of amenities requiring, we aren't changing the amount, but we are requiring that they be applied to multifamily. Because again, multifamily, they do require right now specific amenities, but there's not a number, if you will, for how to amenitize, making that open space usable. Another change is requiring 100% of the playground equipment and associated fall zone to be shaded. Now, that is an increase. Right now, our current code requires a portion or all of the playground equipment to be shaded. That's based on the size. From the feedback we heard, though, there is a need for more shading. And what we've seen also out in the community, especially with our newer subdivisions, is more shading is already being provided. So in efforts to codify that best practice, we are looking to increase it by 100% of the playground equipment and the fall zone. And what a fall zone is typically 6 feet from every edge of the actual equipment. Now, in our discussions with industry stakeholders, we do understand that upon implementation and looking at all the options out there and how they build playgrounds, sometimes the fall zones overlap, and there are some structures, like a swing set, that does require separation from others for safety purposes. So we are asking or recommending a condition of approval so that we can revise that language to still make sure we're meeting the intent that the main structure be shaded, but allowing standalone structures that are secondary in size or location to be unshaded. And so an example is actually on the screen. This is a rec area in Oro Valley, and you can see that the main structure is shaded, but what's in the orange circle is a little swing set that's kind of safely away from the playground equipment and unshaded. So we have looked at, you know, in terms of how that's implemented around the town, that would also make sense. There was concerns also about the amount of turf in playground or park areas, especially as we consolidate them to be larger park areas. The current code does limit the amount of turf to 15%, so we will maintain that. The turf also has to be used for activity purposes, not decorative, so that's maintained as well. But we did add an allowance that Town Council can approve more than 15% if the turf is being used for a sports field or a similar amenity. And then lastly, with amenities, we are codifying existing trail requirements, and that's related to design and location, specifically to ensure that the maintenance is low, but the use is high. Okay, and the proposed code amendment was reviewed to the general plan, and it does meet several guiding principles and policies, as shown on the screen. And by providing more park and rec opportunities that are accessible and well-connected with amenities for all ages and abilities, it does meet several of these goals and policies. So in summary, the proposed code amendment does aim to meet a need that was identified back in 2021 through the Parks and Rec Needs Assessment and further prioritized through the Strategic Leadership Plan. It does incorporate some of the feedback we heard from the study sessions, the HOA board member survey, and our industry stakeholders. And lastly, it conforms to the general plan, and therefore we do recommend conditional approval and subject to that following change to look at the standalone structures shading. This concludes my presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions you have. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Sims. At this time, I would like to open up the public hearing. Looks like we have one blue card, and we have a Jennifer Basario. I'm sorry if I mispronounced your last name there.
Barroso.
Please let us know if you're Oro Valley resident.
Good evening, Chair Harrington, members of the commission. My name is Jennifer Barroso. I am a resident of the city of Tucson, and I am the government liaison for the Southern Arizona Home Builders Association. The association has had the pleasure of working with town staff on these proposed changes to the private recreation area requirements. Malini actually attended and presented at our technical committee meeting on August 15th. And following that meeting, I had a larger response than expected from our members. And so I've scheduled a follow-up meeting to discuss the proposed changes in more detail with Malini and Bayer. And that was last week, the 31st. And so with a small group of our members, we discussed the changes in more detail and proposed these comments that I've submitted to you today. We submitted this letter for your consideration, outlining our comments and concerns. We understand you were likely not able to review them in advance of this meeting, and I apologize for that. While we recognize the town's objective in expanding park amenities and a need to update the recreation area requirements internal to a subdivision, we are concerned some of the proposed requirements, such as increasing the required minimum park area from 512 square feet per dwelling unit to 900 square feet per dwelling unit, and doubling the shade requirements will discourage future development or only serve to increase home prices. We would like to continue working with town staff on a more balanced approach, and I'm available to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you. Ms. Sacconi, is there any other blue cards that have become grown?
No.
All right, thank you. I would like to go ahead and close the public hearing. Is there any commissioners with any questions or comments for their staff? Commissioner Nicholson?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Ms. Sims, so we just heard from Ms. Barroso, and I'm not sure what they would propose if they don't like 900 square feet. What they would, have they given you any indication what would be something they would be comfortable with?
Chair Harrington, Commissioner Nichols, one moment, please. Sorry. They did let us know that the 900 square feet was not favorable. However, I do want to let the commissioners know that this is a amount that those developing, and I'm trying to get back to my slide, there we go, that those developing in this region, especially the Northwest region, are used to. As you can see, it's very similar to Pima County, which is requiring 870 square feet per unit. The increase is because we are more urban than Pima County. They do have more rural space, so it makes more sense for us to have a larger amount than Pima County. But in terms of the actual number from Saba, we did not get a number. But I do think, respectfully, there's just a difference of philosophy on this one in terms of coming to a compromise.
Could I answer your question?
Perhaps we can give Ms. Barroso a chance to respond.
The open hearing has actually...
Yeah, Mr. Chair, you closed the public hearing already, and we don't have an applicant. So your choices are to go amongst yourselves, discuss it with Ms. Sims, and decide if you want what motion you want to make at the end of tonight.
Any additional questions that may help answer your question at this time?
Chair, I have
Commissioner.
A question, please.
Commissioner Outlaw, Ryan.
Thank you, Chair. Ms. Sims, my question is regarding the urgency for these amendments and whether or not the staff would be willing to further collaborate with some of the interested parties to ensure that the amendments are in the best interests of those involved.
Sure. So Chair Harrington, Commissioner Outlaw, Ryan. So over the course of those three meetings, I do think we heard a lot of great feedback, and I appreciate everyone's time for taking a time to look at our code amendment. And we did come up with some, we did come together on some things, and I'm happy to go through the letter with you and address each comment. But again, there are some things that I just think we have a difference of philosophy and goals. Because we're really, the neighborhood park and the park and rec master plan is defined as 2 acres. So we're really trying to get ourselves closer to that need. So there are some things that I just don't know if we'll, even with meeting more, if we'll get to a compromise, which is why we decided to come here tonight and present. And again, I'm happy to go through the rest of the other concerns that they had and touch on each of those if the chair would like or prefer.
I just wanted to add, this isn't new. When I was a chairman of the PRAB, we talked about this then. So we've been talking about this in the town for a while. So it's not, I don't feel like this is an urgent need. So just to add a comment to that.
And Chair, would you mind if I just added another note to, as Melini said, you know, we're working towards that goal of 2 acres that we tied. So keep in mind that this is something that's been on council's mind. It's been a strategic leadership plan item for at least the last couple of iterations of that strategic leadership plan. So, and of course the Parks and Rec master plan. So it's got a foundation that it's coming from. And so the code amendment language that's in front of you is trying to get at that goal that council has set for us to try and achieve. So I, again, back to Ms. Sims's point about maybe a difference in philosophy, we're trying to achieve that goal that council has kind of set out for the town broadly. So just wanted to remind our commissioners of that too. So,
and
thank you, Mr. Spieth. Commissioner Allen, I know you had the last question about the urgency. Did you that answer your question?
It does. But I also find value in making sure that if we do choose to move forward and satisfy those objectives of town council, that we get it right. Chair, it sounds like Ms. Sims is prepared to go through some of the concerns proposed tonight.
It sounds like it'd be good to hear some of the answers and some of the things that the town has went through, going through back and forth with Sala.
Sure. So again, I do appreciate Ms. Barroso providing the letter and meeting with us and coordinating everything, because I know that wasn't easy. So looking at the letter, I'll just kind of go through those. So looking at the size requirement, I do want to remind folks, it is only applicable to rezonings. So any subdivision or residential project building to their existing zoning would stay at the 512. It's only rezonings that would have to do the increase. And again, our purposes are, we looked around, we are lower. Pima County, we saw some good parks in their areas in terms of, or some good practices in their areas. And so that's where we look to increase it, knowing that we're more urban. There was a question about the relationship between impact fees and our recreation area requirements. And the simple answer, there isn't a relationship. Town council is the one who sets and considers impact fees, so it's not part of the code amendment. But our impact fees are actually currently being worked on, so that's something that council may consider as they look at those.
Melini, may I just put my nose in here because it's an impact fee issue? Impact fees go to necessary public infrastructure, so that would be a public town-owned park. These are privately owned parks, so it is a separate issue, even though they're both recreation. When it's all said and done, these local parks don't belong to the town, and they would never be paid for with impact fee money.
The next question was about the required park amenities, and understandably, picking a park amenity should be left to what their target market is, and we wholeheartedly agree with that. The statement was to have the process of choosing amenities be an administrative approval rather than it going to commission and council. Again, we're not changing the process that we currently have. Currently, recreation area plans come to the commission and go to council currently, so we're just maintaining what we already have in terms of that process. Then there was a cleanup and clarification on certain code changes. We will fix the C that they did point out that we had on mistake. But the reason the terms preliminary plat and final plat are used as well as development plan and construction plans are used is because now we are requiring multifamily and mixed-use developments to adhere to this section of code, and they don't typically subdivide their land. They will do development plans and construction plans. Again, on the review and approval process, we did try to adjust the language so it would be clearer, but we did not change anything to the processes. So currently, if it is private rec area, it goes to commission and council. Now, if it's a private recreation area they want to dedicate to the town, that's when the Parks and Recreation Advisory Board, the Planning and Zoning Commission, and town council, all three see it. Very unique circumstances. Looking at the next page two, the increased shade requirements, we did have a lot of discussion about this, and we do agree there are those instances where it isn't best to shade everything when you have a swing set 10 feet away for safety purposes. So that's the reason for the condition. We're hoping to address their concern with the condition. Housing affordability, we do agree. There will be an increased cost with what is being required just due to the more land, the space for land, and also the amenities in terms of the minimum amenities. But we have seen this already being constructed around Oro Valley. There were two examples on the screen where they had significant shade structures in terms of also the amenities they're providing. Seating, shade, pedestrian connectivity, they're pretty standard to most subdivisions. Additional credit for trails and paths, that is included. So if you have a trail that has amenities along the way, and by amenities I mean you have seating areas, you may have trash receptacles, you may have a drinking fountain if there's a water source, then it is a linear park and it can be credited towards your rec requirement. Another credit that we have that we did not, we left in code right now is all rezonings are subject to our environmentally sensitive lands ordinance. And so if you have open space within your subdivision or your project, you can ask to credit some of that towards your rec requirement as passive open space. Use of in lieu fees. So the statement is that the in lieu fee option remains the same. We did keep the in lieu fee option, but we are requiring, there is a change to require a portion of it for those larger subdivisions be put into the subdivision. Again, that's just a best practice, and that's following the guidance that we had from the Parks and Rec needs assessment, as well as the strategic leadership plan, to make sure there's some rec space, at least a quarter acre in every project. But in terms of the process for the in lieu fee, it stayed the same, as well as how you calculate the in lieu fee. We did not change that. And then consolidating rec areas, it's another process question that if you want further distribution that allow that to be administratively approved, the recreation plan is already going to commission and council, so it would be part of that item to ask for that, to show and ask for the further consolidation. And I think that's a very quick rundown of the comments that we received.
Okay. I actually have a question. Of course, these are all valid, good questions from Saba to ask of us to consider those, look at these as action items and make a recommendation to the town council. And I understand that this has been going around for quite a few boards, and some of us have been on some of those boards, so we have intimate knowledge on some of the items that are going for that. One of my questions is the increased size requirement. And I see that on your board here, I know that we're looking at the 2 acres we're trying to get at. And I'm looking at 512 to 900. Is there possibly a consideration to go split the hairs and meet somewhere in the middle, maybe 700, somewhere 724? Is that a possibility that we've discussed or talked about to consider?
Chair Harrington, that's definitely the commission can definitely make a condition for that to change the amount. The amount we proposed is what we feel will get us closest to those larger neighborhood area parks, though.
And that's to get us to the 2 acres that would,
yeah,
as I'm read through and understood, it's trying to get to that 2 acre marker. And I, of course, I see the difference in the different areas. And of course, we're trying to, I understand that Oro Valley's absolutely getting close to full build out. Mm-hmm. Of course, that is a concern for the home builders as well as multifamily, as well as some of the neighboring communities. So as I was looking at some of these, is there room for compromise as, of course, as we discuss and talk about this, is there some wiggle room in there to compromise on certain, not all of them may not be able to be passed or pushed through, because I understand the reason why we're upgrading some of our codes and policies, and they look like some of them are way past due. But I was just looking to see if there's any consideration, or did we consider looking at a closer number?
Sure. So, yeah, we did consider all of the options, and we what we looked at was some of our current subdivisions, how many lots there are, and looking at, well, if you applied 500, 600, 700, where does that get you? But when we realized that, you know, especially understanding that Pima County, which is surrounding us, already has 870 square feet per unit, that's where we're like, well, you know, they're already building that up here. So the 900 didn't seem similar to them in terms of getting us to our goals, but also not being too far off what is already occurring in this area. And for multifamily, we are, so if it was an attached townhome or patio home development, it would be the 900 if it was rezoned. But for apartments, we are looking at 400 square feet per unit for that type of development.
Commissioner Stinson? Yes, I'm following this. I understand that, you know, 500 is less than 900, and 750 is sort of in between the two. I'm having trouble putting it in context. In other words, there's no doubt that less homes can be built. But what I can't visualize, and we've had, you know, just a short time to look at this, is how many homes will be taken away from a typical subdivision. You know, let's say there's 30, and I don't know if this is appropriate for this time or it needs to be come back to study, but like that 36 acres that might be annexed, how many, what's a reasonable amount or what's a possible amount of homes that may go in that 36 acres? And based on each of these criteria, how many houses would be lost? Because right now we're dealing with raw numbers, and I'm not slow generally, but I certainly am having trouble connecting this to reality or where we're going to go with this.
Sure, I can certainly, Chair, if you don't mind, considering that was my project that I'm looking at. So the current tentative plan that we've seen has about 34 units on that 36 acres. So just for hypothetical sake here, right? So the conversation we're having this evening would probably equate to 34 lots instead of 36, because those are two-thirds of an acre in size, and so two of those, of course, is a fairly sizable area, right? So, of course, it depends on what type of subdivision you have, whether you have smaller lots or you have larger lots, but in that scenario, it's about two lots.
Okay, that's, I was almost doing some math early because we had very little time to look at it. That might be one to two, so that puts it in context for me. And a lot of these, you know, there's certainly a possibility that area could go into 70 houses, right, or 80. And in which case, they would lose three lots, but there'd be more lots in total. So, you know, that's where I don't know if we need to make it more accessible to people to actually understand what the effect of this is.
All right. Answers your questions?
Yes.
Commissioner Clark.
Thank you. So I just want to make sure I'm understanding it correctly. There is kind of a compromise built in here that if there's a reason a developer needs to reduce, they can pay an in-lieu fee, but still did that minimum quarter acre, correct? So there is a compromise that's already built in. So I just want to make sure I understand that correctly.
Yes, thank you. That is correct.
All right. Any other questions from any of the commissioners? Vice Chair Sterneman?
One of the things that has been kind of bothering me since I've been here for several years is that it seems like all the developments we're beginning to have is almost zero lot line, and they're maximizing the whole housing space all they can, and they're not really providing any space or comfort at all for the housing. And I understand why you're wanting the 900 square feet per unit, because now we've reached the essence of Oro Valley, is that we're going to have more infill housing. And they're trying to do the same thing again to go to zero lot line, where we're not going to have very much space at all. So my concern, is this a reality? Am I thinking wrong or what?
Chair Harrington, Vice Chair Sturman, may I please ask, can you maybe reword your question? I'm not sure I'm following the zero lot line. I'm not sure I'm following the question.
Well, zero lot line, to me, limits any open space or any park space that's allowable within the acreage that the builder has built. Mm-hmm. And in most cases, what happens, and I could see it myself where I live, we have a bunch of houses, zero lot line, and then we have a small little playground with a patch of grass. And there's no way to expand or anyway, because they maximize the whole acreage. So I'm kind of leaning toward of what you're proposing, because the rest of the space for us to build homes in Oro Valley is infill. Mm-hmm. And what's going to happen is we're going to have, again, a huge amount of zero lot lines, and we won't have any open space. We're going to be using the same space that we use now.
Sure. So let me attempt to answer the question. So, yeah, so this would only apply to new developments, and even if they're infill on vacant parcels, that's why it's a per unit number now, is because it is to make sure that it ties with their density. So based on how many lots they have, some of that will have to be used for recreational area. But you're absolutely right. There are very small private rec areas that don't have amenities, which is one reason why we are pursuing this, is to make sure that all rec areas, all new ones, will have to have some amenities in terms of shading and seating and connectivity, but also have to, if they're rezoning, meet the larger size maybe lose one or two lots, but to have more of a meaningful park area. Did that answer your question? I'm not.
No, thank you. I'm just trying to elaborate. The fact is that the space that we have today, mm-hmm. since we're, what, 97% built out,
yeah.
what we're doing is that the only space that's available right now is infill.
Correct, yeah.
And it's so tight. And we need somewhere along the way to have breathing space, if you will, with the infills that are being proposed. And I can see and understand why you're suggesting 900 to at least allow us the space. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Commissioner Clark.
I just wanted to clarify. So the town of Oro Valley, what is that build-out number? Last I heard it was 85. I didn't know if it was higher now.
So right now we have 13% of our land left, but 7% of that 13 already has approved plans, so it's essentially awaiting construction. So we have 6% of vacant land.
Thank you.
That answer your question?
Yes. Thank you. Yes.
Commissioner Nichols.
Yeah, thank you, Chair Harrington. Ms. Sims, so I'm like Commissioner Zielinski. I'm having trouble picturing what we're talking about here. So I just did some quick math. So if we take what Mr. Space said, that 36 lots, you would times that by 512 square feet, and that would be at roughly half an acre. Mm-hmm. So that would be a half acre park for that parcel, right? If we go to 900, then it's closer to 1 acre.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Correct.
The goal would be that the parks would be 2 acres if we could get there, right?
Right.
But in this case, for that parcel we're talking about that we just talked about annexing, if we stick with the 512, it would be a half acre park. If we go to the 912, it would be more like a 1 acre park.
Correct.
In that area. Okay, I mean, that helps me figure out what we're talking about. Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate that discussion.
Commissioner Slinsky.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I don't know if this, again, is an appropriate thing, but one of the details was the increased shade requirement.
Correct.
When I first thought of that, I'm like, okay, I don't like structures either. But when this discussion took place, I realized that most of the structures they were talking about were over, like, playground areas. Yes. Or maybe picnic benches or something like that, or resting areas. I don't know where to get the idea across that trees are wonderful shade, and in Arizona, they can pretty much be year-round shade, and we don't need as many structures except for these kind of uses. But that would help with the increased shade requirements, right? So trees rather than structures?
So, Chair Harrington, Commissioner Zielinski, we absolutely support more trees, especially our canopy trees in our rec areas and along our sidewalks to provide shade. However, with this specific requirement, we are requiring a structure, and that's more just so we can make sure it's in place and it's maintained. Because the trees, they first of all, they start off small, so it takes some time for them to mature, but also to make sure that they are maintained and stay in place and provide enough shading for the structure to be usable. But absolutely, in terms of other seating areas or just around the rec area, if you have walking paths, trees are encouraged. But for this specific one, we would want a structure over the playground.
And adding on to some previous discussion that we were having about how many lots, 36 lots, 72 lots, an acre, and then we need 2 acres based on some of these requirements. I worry about down the road, and I'm not going to be around forever, but I like the idea of trees. But I also wonder about how much it adds to the cost of each house sale to double these requirements, let's say. And I don't want to delve into what the developer makes as far as profit and everything like that, but some idea that if you add one more acre to a development with 40 to 70 homes, how much does that add to the cost of each house? And maybe that could be a selling point for the developer. And I don't. That's another thing to where a lot of this is taken out of context. Yeah. There's no doubt that they're going to make less money if they put in less houses. But sure. We don't know how much more the value of the houses would increase if there was a better environment.
Sure. And Chair Harrington, Commissioner Zielinski, we looked at a perspective of the benefit to future residents in terms of having more open space and parks, not the price and costs. And we do agree the cost will go up. But again, a lot of these, like the shade structures, are already being provided. A lot of the amenities are already being provided. Yes, the area is increasing in size. But as you said, that could be something that's a selling point. And it's definitely a need in Oro Valley to have the bigger parks.
All right. Is there any additional questions or comments for staff? None? Okay. All right. Let's see. We have a motion here to proceed forward.
Chair, I'd like to put forth motion. I move to recommend approval of the proposed code amendments to Chapter 23, Chapter 26, Chapter 31, and other related sections of the zoning code based on the finding that they are in conformance with the general plan.
I second.
Did she want to add the condition?
Okay.
I can, yes. I can modify my motion to include the conditions presented by Ms. Sims during her presentation.
Mr. Chair, that works just fine. Do we have the condition written out? Does somebody want to read it? I think it's on the screen in front of you if you want to read it out.
Is that at the bottom of the screen?
Yes. I move to recommend, approval of the proposed code amendments to Chapter 23, Chapter 26, Chapter 31, and other related sections of the zoning code with the additional condition to revise language to ensure the main playground structure is 100% fully shaded but allow standalone structures that are secondary in size and location, such as a swing, to be unshaded based on a finding that they are in conformance with the general plan.
I second.
Do you accept the commissioner's
adjustments?
I do. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you. Any other discussion or any other comments? Hearing none, let's go ahead and vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any nays? Motion carries 6-0. Thank you very much for that. All right, is there any planning update?
Yes, thank you, Chair. I do have a planning update for you this evening. So next month's meeting is scheduled for October 3rd. Right now we have three items on that agenda. Ms. Sims will be back before you with a discussion regarding the Town of Oral Valley housing study that has been ongoing. And then we have two study session items for code amendments that are coming up. The first is for a code amendment relative to mobile food truck parks. And the second is relative to the keeping of small farm animals in R1 single-family zoning districts like chickens and ducks and things like that. So I'd also like to point out that Community Academy is starting in October. So if you haven't taken that already, I think most folks have. If you haven't, I would certainly encourage you to sign up, or if you'd just like to join us for some fun festivities, we encourage you to sign up. So thank you, Chair.
All right. I call a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second that motion. All right. We are adjourned. Thank you.